This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
The Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
So I saw a story the other day. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. CBSPhilly.com/Rich. I saw a story. The CIA confirmed the Russians' role in shooting a Pope John Paul II. And the author of a brand new book, I'm so excited for this book. It's called A Pope and a President, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the Extraordinary Untold Story of the 20th Century. Professor Paul Kengor. He's with us now live on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Professor, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rich. Absolutely. Thanks.
So Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul II, in my mind, you know, growing up in that time, I always viewed these two as simpatico.
Yeah, and you and I grew up about the same time. And I remember I would have been a teenager in the 1980s. I'll give away my age. I would have been almost 13 years old when John Paul II went to Poland in 1979. So I grew up with these two guys, and I remember seeing a few images of them just meeting and talking together. And they just seemed totally at ease around one another. And so I'm a Reagan biographer, and over the years, in the course of doing probably four or five other Reagan books, I just kept coming again and again upon this relationship between these two, documents, articles, speeches. And the more I dug and the more questions I would ask to people, I interviewed Nancy Reagan probably about a dozen times, asking her different questions about these two. And it just kept coming back that not only were they simpatico, Rich, but they really saw one another as historical and even spiritual partners in this effort to defeat Soviet communism.
Amazing. And so, Paul, it makes sense that the Russians would have wanted to take Pope John Paul II out.
Right, right. And think about that. I mean, the Russians actually wanted to shoot John Paul II, and they did. The thing that I lay out in this book over hundreds of pages is, how we now know that the Russians ordered the hit on the Pope. That was May 13th, 1981. And people who lived through it like we did, think about this. Reagan was shot just 6 weeks earlier. We now kind of look back historically, Reagan was shot, John Paul was shot. But if you lived through it, you remember these were only 6 weeks apart. But when he was shot May 13th, 1981, I mean, imagine, in St. Peter's Square, right? I mean, the Pope is riding through St. Peter's Square for the weekly audience and all the different people around there, and he's in the Pope Mobile, and the top is down, and this guy, a Muslim Turk named Mehmet Ali Asha, lifts the gun up in the air. John Paul II had just gotten done, grabbing a little kid and kissing the little kid, giving the little kid back to the parent, and goes a few more feet, and Asha lifts his gun up in the air, fires four shots, hit him twice. He went right down, kind of sagged into the arms of his aides, and they rushed him to the hospital and got him there really, truly just in time, because otherwise, maybe another 15 minutes, if even that, he would have bled to death.
It's amazing. It really is truly amazing. And then so after the shooting, you mentioned that there were suspicions, right, that were confirmed by the CIA director at the time, William Casey, that they really thought Russia must have had, the Soviet Union, I should say, must have had a hand in this.
That's right. And that's what we didn't know. And I didn't know that myself until about 6 years ago. In fact, I dated. It was 2011 when one source finally told me something that allowed me to piece all of this together. What I didn't know is just how deep the suspicions ran with Bill Casey at the CIA, Bill Clark at the National Security Council, Ronald Reagan himself. In fact, Clark told me this about 10 years ago, Rich. He said, "Oh yeah, we all thought the Soviets did it, or at the very least, we thought it was extremely likely that they did, especially once we heard Asha, the shooter, say that the Bulgarians were behind it, because the Bulgarians didn't get up and put their pants on in the morning without the approval of the Kremlin." And Asha, and this was actually July 1983, he was being led by the Italians out of the jail to the courthouse, and the Italian press started yelling questions at him. And he said at that point that not only had the Bulgarians been behind it, but the KGB. And that's what got Bill Casey really looking at it at the CIA. And what I learned, and this is the stuff I really didn't know, learned it about 2011, I finally got it all confirmed, was that our CIA determined, they did a super secret investigation on this, and they determined that the Soviets ordered it, specifically through the Soviet military intelligence, GRU, with the knowledge and go-ahead of the head of the KGB, Yuri Andropov. They came to that conclusion. It was around April, May 1985. Casey briefed Reagan on it. And then somebody, Rich, I'm not sure, but I figure it had to have been Casey first, went to Rome and briefed John Paul II on it.
Paul Kanger joins us. His book is called A Pope and a President, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the Extraordinary Untold Story of the 20th Century. This is amazing stuff, Professor. And so the Pope finds out about this. Does it make him more resolved to defeat communism?
I think it probably did, although he didn't really need anything else in the first place. But for him, he had figured this out in July 1981. And I don't know if we want to go into this on the show or not. Of course, you're in Philadelphia. You got a very large Catholic presence in that area. Yes, so people will understand this. But he read something that Catholics know very well. It's called The Third Secret of Fatima. He read that when he was recovering from the shooting in Gemelli Clinic. It was July 18th, 1981. He said, bring it to me. I want to read it. And he read this, and that to him confirmed for him that the Russians must have ordered the shooting. And from there through the end of 1981, he was telling other people in the Vatican, his aides, his confidants, he was telling them that he believed the Russians did it. So he wasn't surprised. So when Casey basically, it must have been Casey, briefed him.
CIA Director William Casey, right?
Yeah, William Casey. So when Casey was constantly flying to the Vatican to meet with John Paul II. He was doing this all the time. Irish Catholic from New York. And he died in 1987. He was constantly flying to Rome to brief John Paul II. So if and when he briefed him, and again, I think he must have, I think John Paul II probably said, okay, well, you've just confirmed what I figured all along. Maybe you could tell me a few of the details of how you think it happened, but it's no surprise to me. And then the really interesting thing, Rich, is he said to Casey, and I think probably to Reagan too, the next time that the Pope met with Reagan was June 1987. But he told our side, the American side, that he wanted them to keep this secret, to keep it to themselves, because what was done was done. The shooting had already taken place. Gorbachev was now in power in the Soviet Union. Things were clearly getting better. They were clearly changing for the better. And he also said, and this is very shrewd, if I were to go out and publicly accuse the Soviets of this, they would launch their usual lies and disinformation. Some people wouldn't believe it. And everybody probably thinks they were behind it anyway. So let's just let it go. What's done is done.
It's remarkable that these two leaders, Pope John Paul II and Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, in the same time of life, dealing with the Cold War and this fight for freedom and liberty versus communism. And of course, President Reagan is shot. And there's some events that take place after Reagan's shooting that, as you lay out in the book, A Pope and a President, really, had Reagan not been shot, things might have been a whole lot worse, which is remarkable to say that.
Yeah, it really is. Because, among other things, yeah, one of the things I report in the book, I think this is what you're alluding to, is that one source who was working in Field Station Berlin told me that on March 30th, 1981, they had very clear indications, in fact, he was firmly convinced of it, that the Soviets were actually going to invade Poland that very day, the day that Reagan was shot, March 30th, 1981. They were going to invade before he was shot. And my source told me what called this off, miraculously, so if you believe in divine intervention, he said, divine destiny, maybe this was it. He said what called off the invasion was Reagan getting shot.
Wow.
Because it put the U.S. on full nuclear alert, highest levels of DEFCON. Al Haig stormed over to the White House and infamously said,
I'm in charge. Right.
I'm in charge, which is interesting because we all laughed at him as an egomaniac. But according to my source, the Soviets saw that and said, whoa, man, Al Haig, former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, General Al Haig. I mean, everybody knew Haig was a tough you-know-what. And so for the Soviets to see Haig saying, I'm in charge, the Soviets thought twice about invading at that point. And I was told this, and I was shocked by it at first, not totally shocked, because I knew that from about September 1980 through December 1981, when the Soviets worked with the Polish government to declare martial law in Poland, there were all kinds of indications that they were thinking about invading. But what's new about what I learned is this guy said not only were they thinking about invading, they were going to go. And they were going to go on March 30th, 1981. And what stopped it was Reagan being shot.
Unbelievable. Remarkable. There is so much to discover in this book, the history and religion and the collision of the two. Paul Kangor is professor at Grove City College, political science professor. And the book, it just came out, Reagan Biographer Extraordinaire. This one, I think, is his best. A Pope and a President, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the Extraordinary Untold Story of the 20th Century. Professor, thanks so much for coming to Philadelphia. This is great stuff, and I wish you the best of luck with the book.
Well, thanks, Rich. Anytime.
And your brother's local. He's listening right now, so we'll say hello to your brother.
My brother in Limerick, PA, right on.
What's his name?
His name is Christian.
All right. Hey, well, that's Christian. Thanks for listening to the show. How'd your brother do, Christian? Let us know, all right? I think he did a good job.
Believe me, he'll let me know.
All right, a Pope and a President. Thanks, Paul.
All right, thanks.
Rich Scioli, 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!